So today we will finish our reading of Srimad of Mahotsav by sharing with you the 8th chapter and the 9th chapter. So the 8th chapter, in the 8th chapter, Srimati Radharani is being honored in her position as the Queen of Vrindavan. And the 9th chapter ends very happily with Radha and Krishna together. So, we heard yesterday how many, there were 8, 9 abhishekas, formal abhishekas with different beautiful jewel inlaid pots. And alongside of those, there was the abhishek with water, the abhishek with earth, the abhishek with the panchagavya, and the abhishek with the 1,000-hold golden pot. So all of this had taken place in great detail. All of these arrangements had been fulfilled. And after all of the abhisheks were completed, the sakis were waiting for the order from Purnamasi to take Srimati Radharani and begin to dry her body. So they removed her wet clothing and they gave her fresh dry cloth. And then they placed jasmine flowers in her hair. The cloth that they decorated her in was covered with designs of swans, and she was seated amongst them. And within the boundaries of the sakis, because all the sakis were around her on all sides, they illuminated Radha with their own effulgences within this screened area. Separated from the elders by this screen, Radha gave blessings to all the sakis by her glances. Then when they had dressed her, she accepted it with eyes like blossoming lotuses. While the drops of water that were clinging to Radha's body, it appeared that the cloth was actually perspiring in fear of being shed by Radha, the abhishek cloth, as it was falling from her body. Then the sakis tied jasmine flowers in her hair. And then, after they had done this and dressed her very nicely, then Radha came out and appeared before everybody, very simply dressed, simple dress and many, many flowers. And when she appeared before everybody, she looked just like an excellent performing artist, attracting everybody by her beauty. Then Radha was invited to sit on another throne, and from there she began to distribute gifts and mercy to some of the citizens who were involved in the abhishek. First she gave Purnamasi a beautiful small box made of buds, and in this box was engraved with the name of Purnamasi on the top, and it was full of fragrant flowers. So this she gave to Purnamasi. Then she gave priceless jewels to the brahmacharis, the two Brahmin brahmacharis who had been chanting all the Vedic mantras with Purnamasi. She gave them each jewels. And then, because Madhu Mangal was nearby, and he was playing, he's always playing, he's a little silly like that, so he was playing around with a jeweled ball in a very silly way. So one of the gopis called out, "Madhu!" because he's so silly. And he turned around and he put some honey on her tongue, because Madhu means honey. And finally, Srimati Radharani asked, "Madhu, what do you want? What do you want? I want to give you something." And he thought for a minute, and then he said, "Please give me your most dear treasure." Srimati Radharani looked very grave, and she was silent for a moment, and then she took a garland, and she said, "Take your gift." And she gave the garland to Madhu Mangal. And Madhu Mangal said, "So be it." And he looked at Krishna. And when he saw Krishna, he grabbed him and started pulling him and started dancing with him. And he was dancing up and down and pulling Krishna. And Krishna was getting pulled around by Madhu Mangal. And then all the gopis and all the sakis started to laugh. And they started pulling off their turbans and joking in this way. And everything became very playful. Then the elders who were still present blessed Srimati Radharani by saying, "Please enjoy your kingdom." And Srimati Radharani, interestingly enough, she gave her first order, because now she's queen of Vrindavan. And she said, this was her first order, let all the prisoners or the bound up creatures in Vrindavan become liberated. So you can just imagine in a kingdom here on earth, such an order would be very exhilarating. Everyone would be feeling that this was specially nice. But amazingly, when Radha said this, the first astonishing thing that took place was that Krishna suddenly became totally bound up. And the second thing was that when Radha's sakis heard this order, they became terrified. They were horrified by this thought of those who were bound up being free. The gopis were bound in love to Srimati Radharani, and so they became full of fear at this order. Actually, there were no bound creatures in Vrindavan. Everyone was liberated, but no one could give up the internal bondage of love. Radha's bathing pacified the whole world. And when Radha ordered to relieve the creatures of their burden, the exact opposite happened. The trees, for example, increased their burden by giving more honey and more fruit in reciprocation. And the cows increased their burden of milk to give more milk. And the crops spontaneously grew. And Krishna himself became bound up, increased his burden by becoming more deeply bound in love. So by the blessing of liberation, Krishna became bound up more as his freedom increased. Then the gopis went with Purnamasi to a spring cottage where the heavenly ladies wanted to dress Srimati Radharani very beautifully. So the gopis agreed that they could have some opportunity to dress Srimati Radharani. And first of all, Sangya, the daughter of Vishvakarma, she began to decorate Srimati Radharani's hair by first combing it and then braiding it very beautifully and placing flowers and jewels in her hair. Then her co-wife took over, and she also began to dress Srimati Radharani as well. Then the gopis came and painted decorations on her face and kajal on her eyes, and they decorated her ears and placed a pearl on her nose and a black spot on her chin and a necklace around her neck with Krishna's name engraved upon it. Then they placed garlands of lotus, ashok, mango buds and jasmine around her neck. And all her ornaments attained their beauty from her. Now, after Srimati Radharani was very beautifully dressed like this, then came the opportunity to give her an exquisitely beautiful blue lotus garland. And so Sarasvati desired to present this beautiful garland to Srimati Radharani. But when she went to offer, she was coming forward. Parvati, you know, we have to remember who Parvati is. Parvati took the garland from her hands and laughing, she put it around the neck of Krishna. And Jamuna Devi said to her, "Why have you offered this garland to your brother?" Because as we know, the demigoddess who flew up into the sky and said Krishna has appeared elsewhere is also a manifestation of Parvati. So Krishna and Parvati are like brother and sister. So Jamuna said, "Why have you offered this garland to your brother? Can there be any love between you two?" And then, laughing, Parvati replied to Jamuna and she said, "I am always making mistakes." And then she laughingly took the garland off Krishna. And along with the garland, she also took one of his necklaces. And then she turned around and placed that garland around Srimati Radharani's neck along with the necklace. And then Jamuna Devi said, "What is the use of a necklace that's been touched by another man. And so she took the necklace off Srimati Radharani in a joking way and put it back on Krishna. And then Parvati said, "Greedy Yamuna, showing your boldness in exchanging Radha's garland for Hari's necklace." And like that, Parvati took some musk from Krishna's chest and she placed it on Radha's forehead as a tilak. And this joking between Yamuna and Parvati caused everyone in the assembly to laugh. And unseen to all, showers of flowers fell from the sky. Then all the dressing was complete. All the garlands had been given. And Radha gave garlands and gifts to all of her friends. Then poets began to glorify Radha and Krishna's special qualities. And then Radha also rewarded the poets with ornaments. Then Radha was asked to proceed to the royal throne in the Sarvabhauma Griha, the throne of all thrones. And as she and the gopis proceeded through the forest cottages, they arrived at the Sarvabhauma Griha. The summary of this chapter says, being bathed by water and rasa and attaining lordship over Vraj, Radha gave bliss to the cloud called Hari and satisfied the Chakora eyes of her friends. I eternally serve beautiful Krishna and Sri Rupa Goswami, Krishna's eternal servant, who prevents jivas from attaining impersonal liberation by the ropes of their infinite qualities, and who bind them up in the net of gentle love, and who deliver souls like me who are wandering on the wrong path. So then chapter 9, this is the final chapter. So Srimati Radharani has been asked by Purnamasi to proceed to this throne, and she's looking unbelievably beautiful. Srimati Radharani proceeded to the throne and spread her radiance everywhere. Each step that she took further revealed her beauty and auspicious qualities. And while she was walking, Krishna was very melodiously playing his flute. The gopis followed behind her, carrying an umbrella and other royal paraphernalia. And they themselves were almost stunned in ecstasy. And they remained only conscious of Srimati Radharani's presence. Everyone present praised Radha with astonishment and gazed at her as if they had unblinking eyes. And the demigoddesses who had descended in heavenly aeroplanes filled a far-off section of the forest sky, so that everyone was coming to see this occasion. So Radharani passed through three chambers of this forest cottage, and then she arrived at the Sarvabhauma Griha, or this beautiful throne. So Srila Jiva Goswami says, please hear a description of this beautiful place. Blossoming champak trees, embraced by vines of jasmine, welcomed Radha. The moon and the stars, shining through the jasmine latticework, conquered the beauty of the city gates. From all directions, swarms of bees flew in and out of the thick vegetation, which was covered by a variety of flowers. The bees thought this Sarvabhauma Griha was a jeweled plateau with floors tiled in jewels, and cooled by fragrant breezes, bearing the colorful pollen that spread everywhere like dust. Within this jewel-studded area grew a huge kalpa vriksha tree. This tree was blossoming with fruits and flowers, and encircled with an extremely fragrant sandalwood vine. This tree is considered the king of trees and is endowed with all wonderful qualities. Krishna can never give up this tree, for beneath its branches, which are filled with birds constantly chirping, all the seasons, although possessing contradictory qualities, mix harmoniously. The branches of the tree resemble a throne surrounding which are many jeweled pots. The leaves seem to sing due to the bees and birds who are present there. In this auspicious place, the jeweled throne, the floor, and the pots all accept the best of qualities. This is the Sabbaboma Griha, or the King of Thrones, and it has a small footstool with a cushion which appears like moon rays. Nearby, there are flasks of perfume, flower caskets, jeweled ornaments and other items. Even Radha and Krishna were surprised and amazed by the beauty of this place. This place gives the utmost pleasure to Radha and Krishna. Then the heavenly ladies, as we heard, they were still present. All of the elders and heavenly ladies had not left yet. So they could not keep their eyes off Radha and Krishna when they entered. Srimati Radharani was taken by Vrindadevi and seated on this throne. And then Vrindadevi performed an aarti with the best of jewels and purest love. There is a nice quote that says that Vrindadevi performed aarti with the best of gems and purest devotion. Repetition here is no fault, as it was filled with love. So then after Vrindadevi's aarti, then Radha ascended the throne holding Lalita's hand and placed her footstool, placed her lotus feet on the footstool. Then Purnamasi came and she also performed an aarti to Srimati Radharani while she was seated on the throne. With a parasol overhead and a canopy of flowers above that and a pair of shimmering white chamaras on either side. Seated on the golden throne, Radha appeared like the Devata of Mount Meru seated on its pinnacle, sprinkled with drops of water from two streams of the heavenly Ganga, bathed in moonlight and decorated with a multitude of stars. At that time, along with everybody else, all the living entities of Vrindavan, the trees, the birds, the animals, the herbs, the lakes, the rivers, creepers and mountains, they all appeared in beautiful bodies. And when they all appeared there together, then Purnamasi blessed them all, and the new queen Radha gave permission to seat all these worshipable personalities. Now, Purnamasi had a difficult problem here. Srimati Radharani had said everyone should now be seated. They had all come, so many demigoddesses, all the different servants of Krishna from Vraj in their different forms had appeared there in human forms. And Krishna was there. Where would Krishna sit? This was Purnamasi's deliberation. So Purnamasi was wondering how she should seat Krishna. Should he sit somewhere else and not on his normal throne? Should he sit here, there? Should he be visible to his beloved? Or should he actually sit on the same seat as her? Here is a question. So Purnamasi decided very wisely to offer Krishna instead a jeweled seat that was so dazzling that it seemed like a royal throne. So Radha and Krishna were separate, but everybody saw and believed that they were seated on the same seat. They looked like two moons rising at the same time. It is the expert nature of Purnamasi. So then Radha was given royal emblems and the ladies sat around Radha and some of them danced. Flowers fell and poets offered praise and the young girls imitated the Gandharvas. And everybody was so happy to be with Radha. When they gave Radha the royal danda, the scepter, this she made beautiful by holding it. Then Purnamasi told Krishna, Radha is very shy because there are so many elders here. So you should give the posts, the positions in her kingdom to the Sakis and make Radha happy. So Krishna agreed to do this. And he gave two appointments at this time. First of all, he assigned duties to Lalita Devi. He said to Lalita, he said, you should become the princess of Radha. And you, because your name is Anuradha, your name Anuradha means that you are situated together in divine love. So your first duty is that you offer all objects to your leader for her enjoyment. Then he turned to Vishakha and he said, Vishakha, you should become the counselor of Radha. You too have the same mind and the same name, because Vishakha is another name also for Srimati Radharani. By the power of your expert counseling, may the Lakshmi of Vrindavan bestow upon you ever increasing opulence. Then Krishna looked to Vrinda and he told Vrinda, he gave her some very nice ornaments and he appointed her again the protector of the forest. So everybody became very happy hearing these posts being given. And then Purnamasi spoke to all the residents of Vrindavan. She said, O trees, be satisfied along with your wives, the creepers, and bestow all desirable things. O best of birds, keep singing along with the bees. O animals, continue to be happy with confidence, for Radha has assumed control of Krishna and Vrinda. Now the forest of Vrindavan is suitable for you all, having gained an excellent leader. So everyone became very happy to hear Purnamasi's words. Then, again, there were some performances and singing took place. But by this time, as you can imagine, sitting here listening, we may feel a little tired. Oh, this is going on so long. Well, exactly like that Srimati Radharani was feeling. This is taking so long. And so many people are here. And how do I deal with all of these people? So she was thinking, the people should go. She was praying, today, will I obtain by any means the good fortune to see Krishna? Because there she was in front, so many people were there. And then she was praying, oh Krishna, will you please protect me from the forest fire of so many people? And just as she was thinking like that, the Sakis were also thinking, yes, the people should go. And Purnamasi immediately understood. And she blissfully bid farewell to all the demigod ladies and they all left. And everybody left. And then, when everybody had gone giving their blessings, then they gave the name to this place where this beautiful festival had taken place. They said, this place is now known as Unmad Radhika, or the place where Srimati Radharani became overwhelmed with love for Krishna. And then they disappeared as mysteriously as they arrived, and they were all gone. Then Purnamasi sent a message to Yasoda's house, telling Yasoda that Krishna would be a little late tonight. He was staying under her supervision. And she sent a message also to Srimati Radharani's family not to worry, that she was taking care of everything. And then, as soon as she had done that, she had sent messages to assure all of the elders. Then she also left. Then Radha and Krishna were now alone. And Srimati and Krishna went to sit on the throne. And the Sakhi said, why are you trying to sit on our dear friend's royal throne? And Krishna replied, you foolish girls, I'm the king of Braj. Don't you know I'm the king? Krishna, Radharani has just been coronated as my queen, so of course I can sit on her throne. And the Sakis became wildly angry, and a big fight started to take place, and then Vrindadevi stopped them, and she pacified them all. And she said, it is not necessary to argue like this, who is the king, who is the queen. She said, certainly by her own actions, Srimati Radharani will prove her position. So then the gopis became peaceful, and they happily arranged everything for Radha and Krishna, and they became full of happiness. So then, let me read the last section of Sri Jiva Goswami's poem. So this is the last paragraph, paraphrased. Then the divine couple sat together, and all their senses were completely satisfied. The Sakis who served them at this moment thought to themselves, our friend Radha has overcome an ocean of suffering to come to Krishna's forest. By her sweet love at this Abhishek, she has forcefully brought both Krishna and the forest of Vrindavan under her control. Oh, my dear heart, they said, now all your desires are fulfilled. Now, there is a concluding request to this particular work. Srila Jiva Goswami says, this work, ordered by my guru, Sri Rupa Goswami, and partially described in his work entitled Dankele Kumudi, has now been completed. With all my intelligence, I have not even been able to vaguely describe this beautiful pastime. Far from presenting the details, I cannot even present a general description. The form of the moon is only manifest in the full moon. Though given the order, I have not been able to carry it out completely. But if the Rasika Bhaktas in some way have tasted even a portion of this work written by me, then my efforts will have borne some fruit. Just to be seen by the devotees of Krishna makes one's whole life successful. May Sri Radha, who is endowed with the most intense bliss, who experiences continuous happiness, and whose body is covered with bumps of joy, and who tastes the sweetness of various emotions inspired by her love of Krishna, while sitting on the royal throne in the forest of Braj, bestow supreme beauty to everyone. I eternally serve beautiful Krishna and his servant, Sri Rupa Goswami, who have made my past, present, and future life auspicious, whose precious lotus feet are most worthy of service, and who, as personifications of magnanimity, have bestowed their own prema bhakti on me in a shower of mercy. In 1555, one jiva living in Vrindavan completed this new poetic work by his own desire. Sri Jiva Goswami ki jai, Sri Rupa Goswami ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Sri Madhav Mahotsav ki jai, Gopri Manandi ki jai.